As the Paris Division will come to order.
And we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Reverend Lee, would you lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, welcome everybody, and we have a quorum, so may I have a motion to approve the minutes of March 6th meeting?
I would make that motion, Mr. Chair.
Reverend Poston moves a motion that the March 6th meetings are passed, or excuse me, approved, I'm sorry. Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The March 6th meetings are approved. The first bill on the agenda is House Bill 2164. Reverend Howe, please come to the table. You're there already in the hot seat.
Absolutely.
And Reverend Howe, I will move. I still say you should make sure next time you're on this committee. But so with that, Mr. Reverend Howe, I will move House Bill 2164 before the committee, and that it will be re-referred to the State Government Finance Committee. And Reverend Howe, please tell us about your bill.
Well, Mr. Chair, and I think I was here a couple of weeks ago or a week ago, I can't remember, time is flying by, to discuss the burial fee at the state veteran cemeteries. And what this bill does is authorize the use of SOT funds, Support Our Troops funds, to fund those folks that have an issue with paying the $750 burial fee. So what this does is gives an authorization for the use of SOT funds for that purpose.
Okay. Any other testifier? Mr. Johnson?
Representative Detmer, members of the committee, my name is Ben Johnson. I'm the legislative director for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And I'll make this relatively short and sweet. We really appreciate Representative Howe working with us to develop something that that was more manageable for the agency in terms of costs, and are happy to take the direction of the committee and in terms of developing policy standards and application forms for waivers. We're happy to take that direction and go forward with it.
Are there any other people, any questions from the committee? Any other people like to testify for or against this bill? Any other people? Boy, this is going faster. That's a Friday, isn't it? Okay. Normally, we don't meet on a Friday. But there's no discussion. No other people like to testify. Representative Howe, any closing remarks?
No, I just appreciate your support, and we'll continue to work with the Department of Veterans Affairs to come up with appropriate language and guidance.
That's great. Okay, the chair renews the motion of House File 2164 be re-referred to the State Government Finance Committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. House Bill 2164 was re-referred to the State Government Finance. The next bill on the agenda is House Bill 2011. Representative Lewick, please come to the table with your testifiers. And Representative Lewick, your bill is before us. Would you like to move your bill before the committee?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I would move House File 2011 before the committee, and I do have an author's amendment.
Okay. Would you talk about your amendment, please?
Yes, this amendment would delete a portion of the bill that deals with the specifics of creating a statue in honor of General Vesey. And the reason this would match what the Senate's working on the same bill, We need to slow that process down slightly. It's a little more complicated than I originally anticipated. So to make sure that we get this initial thing well down the road with no delays, what I will do with that at a time more appropriate when we've had a time to do a little more technical research, I'll certainly be bringing back that on a standalone bill, and that would likely come next session. So I know the general was a stickler on following the rules, and so am I.
Does everybody have the amendment before them? Is there any discussion on the A1 amendment? All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted. And Rep. Luke, please present your bill as amended to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Yes, what this bill would do as it's amended now is would recognize General Vesey, probably one of the most notable, I guess, military figures of the last century. And he's a Minnesota, born and raised in Minnesota, started out as an enlisted guy, and went all the way to four stars. We one of the things we wanted to do was create a day that recognized him here in the state of Minnesota, June 29th, and that just happens to be his birthday. There's a whole group of testifiers here that can get into the history and detail of the things that he did. World War II veteran, Korean War veteran, and Vietnam War veteran. I think probably, boy, we got a lot of testifiers here, and they can tell you the story. So what I would do is would defer to the whole line of testifiers here that can enlighten for the folks that aren't familiar with General Vesey's history. We can let those folks speak to that.
Welcome to the committee, and please introduce yourself for the record.
Sure. My name is Scott Walker. I represent the Coalition of Allied Vietnam Veterans. We are an international group of Vietnam veterans representing Laos, Cambodia, South Vietnam, U.S. Special Forces, CIA, and other individuals in Australia, as well as in Cambodia and Europe. I just wanted to I'm going to be very brief about this because we do have some people that have this personal relationship to General Vesey. But General Vesey is probably arguably the most significant military individual in Minnesota history, bar none. His career spanned three wars, and he initiated some of the most sophisticated branches of the U.S. military under the Reagan administration. He served in World War II, Korea. He also served in Vietnam, not only as a foot soldier, but later on in the secret war in Thailand and Laos, a significant individual with regard to the Vietnam War. And then he was later tapped as the 10th chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under President Reagan. He continued to serve in many capacities under his term there, initiating the Space Command, U.S. Space Command, which has become one of the major branches of the U.S. military. I like what was said that Representative Luckin mentioned that he was born in Minneapolis, went to school at Roosevelt High School, graduated, and then at 16 enlisted in the National Guard. And then they were called up in the Red Bulls, maybe you know or not, but they were the very first American contingent to be sent overseas and served in Tunisia and North Africa, where he served. And then he also served in Anzio. Those who understand Second World War history, he was a sergeant and then received a field commission. At that time, that was his initiation in serving as an officer. He retired in garrison, I think, in 37 years ago, and he's lived in Garrison ever since. He continued to serve and work with U.S. veterans, an instrumental and wonderful example of an American, and he continued to support our Lao, our Cambodians, and other military that have come over here to the United States. So I'm going to be very, that's all I want to say, but we have some people that have personal relationships with General Vesey. I think you need to meet them. I think they'd like to speak on his behalf. So thank you.
Sir, could you state your name and begin, please?
Yes. Thank you. My name is Doug Becky. I just retired as being curator of the Minnesota Military Museum at Camp Ripley. I first met General Vesey over 25 years ago through my work with the Harold C. Deutsch World War II History Roundtable. I came to know him much better when 16 years ago I became curator of the Minnesota Military Museum at Camp Ripley, and thus became the caretaker of as many artifacts at the museum. I was immediately impressed with the range of accolades that the collection from around the nation and around the world contained. Recently, I worked with General Vesey's family on the many things not at Camp Ripley, and have come to realize that that which is at Camp Ripley represents only a small fraction of the praise and respect earned by General Vesey. In 2005, I spent 3 days interviewing General Vesey for the Minnesota Historical Society's Greatest Generation Project, and I have to say, what a mind, what a memory, what a history, and what a list of accomplishments. Later, I worked with General Vesey on several World War II History Roundtable programs and on events at the Minnesota Military Museum and other places. He usually preferred to talk about the people who served with him rather than the things that he did himself in his extremely distinguished record of service. Though the General would not like to hear this, I always had the sense that when I was with him, I was with a truly great man. The General was not one who aggressively sought promotion or advancement. In my conversations with the General, he made it clear that he was not impressed with his own service. But everyone who served with him recognized him as a great man and sought him out for positions of greater responsibility. I think the General would take his greatest pleasure in thinking of himself as a citizen, a patriot, and a soldier who did it the best of his ability to do what he was called upon for the defense of the nation. And very importantly, when General Vesey retired, he didn't stay in Washington, in the Washington power circles. He didn't move to warmer southern climates. He was a very proud Minnesotan, and he couldn't wait to get back to his home in Garrison. I think it's not only important but extremely appropriate that the proposal to honor General Vesey be moved forward. A citizen, patriot, soldier, and Minnesotan. And I think I can honestly say a truly great man in the eyes of all who knew him and had the honor and pleasure of working with him. I hope it wouldn't be inappropriate, but I'd like to tell you one story about General Vesey if I could. I think it illustrates him.
Please go ahead.
Illustrates the man. I heard him tell this story several times. So he's getting ready to retire. They've got a cabin up in Garrison on Little Whitefish Lake, and they're getting ready to go up there. And he gets a call from Caspar Weinberger, the Secretary of Defense. General, the President wants to see you. Oh, boy. Goes to President Reagan's office the next day. General Vesey, I want you to be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Oh, Mr. President, I promised my boss you'll be in Garrison at the end of the summer. I'm getting ready to retire. I understand, General. Go talk to Mrs. Vesey and see what she says. So he goes back to Fort McNair, and Mrs. Vesey's working in the Rose Garden behind the house. And he says, Avis, why do I get tapped for all these jobs like this? And she looked at him and said, this is God's punishment for lying about your age when you joined the National Guard. So he was a brilliant man. He was a humble man. He earned every award the Army could give, sometimes several times, except the Medal of Honor. He probably should have got that for the Battle of Suitray. He was really a great man. And as was said earlier, I think unquestionably Minnesota's most distinguished soldier. Mm-hmm. So honoring him is very, very appropriate. Are there any questions?
Well, I got a call from General Vesey, like probably 2 or 3 months before he passed away, and he was working for the renovation project of Fort Snelling. I don't know how he got my hold of my cell phone number, but he had ways of getting people's phone numbers. And I'm at home, and I get a call, and he says, "This is General Vesey, and I would like to talk to you about the project at Fort Snelling." And we chatted for a while, and it's just really neat to hear how much he cared about the facilities here in Minnesota. So it was an honor to be able to speak with him. Mm-hmm. So
he told me at the end his priorities in life, but this isn't his last year, the nation's defense and honoring the men of the 34th Division, Minnesota's National Guard, and other soldiers that he'd served with. So nothing about himself, just how can he continue to serve.
Mm-hmm. And he came up, he came up through the ranks, which has a lot to say about a person.
He didn't enlist, though, to become a four-star general. He enlisted right. because he wanted to get 25 cents an hour in the National right. Guard, which was big money in 1939. And he used his first paycheck to buy a jalopy with another one of his fellow soldiers. So,
are there any other people like to discuss or testify on this? Okay, please come forward. Welcome. Please introduce yourself for the record.
My name is Peshagia Unit Colonel.
Okay.
Working 6 years with the CIA Central Intelligence in the Southern part of Laos as assistant, operational assistant, and unit commander. Everywhere there is a big battle, they say, "How you go? You take me out from your office and I leave the troop." God, we did twice, capture twice, but I'm here alive. I know John Vesey back 1972. He was chief military advisory assistant group. That means helping the Lao army or the Lao government to get some supply, ammunition, and coordinate with the Pentagon and Department of State, because the CIA here and the army here, you know, helping the Lao people. So I led one group mobile. On June 1972, I led 4 battalion and 1 heavy weapons company to attack 2 North Vietnamese regiments. And I destroyed all of them. I said, "Go back home with your soul. Nobody live here." And they say, "Don't do that. Get some alive with North Vietnamese." So I get some. They give me $200 per head. And they asked me to go destroy the North Vietnamese tank column and all the supply truck. I did it. So generously know me. I respect him like my commander. I have his picture on the head of my bed, and many pictures here with him. He went back in Laos. I respected him. I think he is my only brother, not just for the Laos, in the Southeast Asian too. Here, every time he attend our event, there are South Vietnamese, Cambodian, and Special Forces. Everybody respect him and love him. So I come today to support whatever the bill, to be in a memorial statue for him. And last night I think about what the memorial statue will be look like. Maybe it's combined art of Europe and Asia, because he worked in Europe and he worked in Korea and Southeast Asia, including Thailand. They don't mention that he worked in Laos because that's a secret war. But he was in Laos for 2 years working for the Laos, for Thailand, and South Vietnamese too, Cambodian too. So I want something to happen, and then we want to go and have a place to respect him, to pay tribute to him with an art that represents Europe and Asia. And I love to see that, and I frankly we own support to fighters from Laos, Cambodia, Thailand, and South Vietnam. We own respect him. Every time we have an event, we own go and, you know, surrounded him. I have on the picture here. The last time he came to see us, he cannot walk anymore. He walked with a stick, with the head of Special Force, and he said, "Colonel Cao, thank you for your service. Every time we have the event, I will come if I stand alive, that's what he told me. So I respect him like my commander and like my brother. Every Southeast Asian soldier veteran, respect him and honor him. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other testifiers? Representative Luke, well, your closing remarks.
Representative Luke?
Yes, you know, just suffice to say that you know, this is something we need to do. You know, this is the least we can do. When we're not done, we'll be back and work on some more really important things to honor this great man. So with that, and I believe that this would be ready, Mr. Chair, to go to the General Register, I believe, as it's amended.
That's correct, Reverend Lou.
Then I would renew my motion then to move this to the General Register.
So Reverend Luke moves his House File 211 as amended to be referred to the General Register. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. House File 2011 as amended will be referred to the General Register. Our next bill on the agenda is House File 2276. Representative Polson, you would like to move your bill before the committee and that to be referred to the General Register?
Yes, Chairman, I would.
Okay, Representative Polson, your bill is before us. Please tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I don't see any amendments. So.
No amendment. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Bill 2276 is to recognize on July 16th every year Atomic Veterans Day in honor of veterans of the United States Armed Forces who, in the exercise of their duty or in the course of their service, were exposed to radiation or exposure to a contamination event. The honored veterans include those who are designated by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs as atomic veterans. For service as part of the occupation forces assigned to or who were prisoners of war housed near Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan, after the detonation of the atomic bombs over those cities. The honored veterans include those who were involved in radiation exposure events, including post-test events related to nuclear weapon devices detonated underground or in shafts, or whose duties involved regular use of radiation-producing equipment or processes, such as plant technicians aboard nuclear-powered aircraft carriers and submarines, X-ray technicians, and other assigned to the Inuktitut Atoll radiation cleanup that happened in 1977 through 1980. I have with me today to testify Keith Heather. He's the national commander of the NAAV and the Minnesota Kill Commander.
Thank you.
And there are a couple of handouts. One is from Keith on his testimony. The other one looks like this, and the only reason I'm showing you this is in the bottom left-hand corner there is a website that I would recommend all of you go to, and when you have a few minutes, and just look at the men and women and all the projects that they have done that pertain to atomic or radiation-type work.
Thank you. My name is Keith Kiefer, and I have the pleasure of being the National Vice Commander of NAV. NAV stands for National Association of Atomic Veterans. I'm also the Minnesota Colt Commander. Jim Hammond is my partner supporting NAV. NAV supports Bill HF 2270.
A little background, back in 1983, a proclamation 5072 ended up passing unanimously through the Senate and the House, declaring July 16th National Atomic Veterans Day. Unfortunately, it did not include the words "and every year hereafter." So it was signed into law on the 15th of July 1983. Nobody really knew about it. There was no celebration that year, and because there wasn't any subsequent or continuation of it, it hasn't formally been recognized since. NAB has been working with U.S. Congress and Senate to get that rectified. In the meantime, we've been finding that it's a lot easier to go to the individual states and get them to recognize it. Right now, we have approximately 12 states that recognize July 16th. I need to point out on the handout that you have, there's a typo. Actually, the first atomic bomb was dropped July 16th, 1945, not 44. And that was Trinity, and that's why we chose July 16th to recognize Atomic Veterans Day, because that was the first time a nuclear bomb was dropped, and that was out in New Mexico near Alamogordo. So last year, we're working to try and get this through. We were a little late in the process, but the Minnesota State Legislature and then the Minnesota Senate independently passed resolutions declaring last year National Atomic Veterans Day. But again, that was not perpetual. And also the governor signed a proclamation declaring July 16th, 2016, National Atomic Veterans Day. A group of us got together to celebrate that. Again, we only had about 2-week notice, so it was kind of hard to get everybody together. Many of the individuals that participated in the tests back between 1945 to 1963, they're in their 70s, 80s, and 90s, sometimes it's hard to get them out. And we're trying to get them as much recognition as possible while they're still with us here. Their family members also are very much appreciative of any recognition of the contributions the atomic veterans have made. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to open or ask or answer any questions anybody might happen to have on this about the organization or the bill, possibly even the tests.
Representative Rosenthal.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the testifier and representative, thank you. My father was one of the first Army men into Japan after we dropped the bomb. Unfortunately, died 3 years ago, but would greatly respect what you're doing. So thank you.
Thank you. It's my honor.
Captain Lewis.
I'd like to echo that that thanks. Interesting, because a lot of people don't realize that the work on this continued long after those bombs were dropped.
Mm-hmm.
look at 1977. When we did a big cleanup on Anoetok Island, a major portion of that cleanup were done by Navy divers, and the kind of the way that worked, because there's some limits to how long you can expose people safely to radiation, you couldn't just send a crew out there and leave them there for a long time. So at that time, they asked for volunteers throughout the Navy diving community, and particularly those of us that had served repairing submarines, because we were already radiation craftsmen workers, and we understood what was going on there. I actually volunteered for that, for whatever reason, I was not chosen, but I can tell you a great number of my shipmates were out there, and that rotated on for a number of years because a lot of there was a lot of stuff on the surface that had to be dealt with, but there was a huge amount of stuff in the water. So I just echo that thanks because that was a huge project that went on long after those tests that took place out there.
If I might also comment to that.
Yes.
I was also one of the veterans that was part of the Inuituk Atoll cleanup project. I wasn't a volunteer. let's do it this way. I was volunteered for the project. And I was over there for approximately six months as part of the cleanup project. So, unfortunately, we did get a lot of the radioactive material off of there, and it was placed into a tomb that was created by what they called Cactus Crater on Ruined Island. Basically, it was a depression in the island that was approximately 35 feet deep and 350 feet in diameter. That was from just one bomb. That particular island, much of the radioactive debris was picked up, put on ships, carried over to the island, trucked from the ships into that depression, and then a cement cap was put over it, 18 inches thick, and it creates a dome. You can actually go out on Google and see the dome from aerial views of it. So, there was approximately 4,023 or 33 men involved, servicemen involved with that. There was approximately another 4,000 civilians or DOD, there was a number of organizations, Department of Energy, I was having a senior moment, I can't remember the other organizations, but there was several other organizations involved with it. And of that 4,023, we've only been able to locate about 400 of the individuals alive.
Okay. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My great uncle was Barrington Daniels. He was a peace-loving man. When the White House asked him if he would, he was a scientist. He was actually working on solar energy. And the White House asked him if he would work on the Manhattan Project. So he didn't want to, but he felt it was his duty to his country. So he became the director of the Metallurgy Center that developed the components of the bomb in Chicago. And I just feel like it's come full circle because he was such a peace-loving man, he was such a kind and gentle man, and he didn't want to be a part of the work to develop such a weapon. But he felt it was his duty to the country. Mm-hmm. And if he knew I was sitting here today going to vote yes for this bill, he would be so happy and so proud. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Anybody else would like to testify? I have a personal story where I met a gentleman who was MacArthur's driver in the Philippines. And MacArthur left the Philippines, of course. His driver was captured by the Japanese, was taken to Japan. And he and some other prisoners of war were shoveling coal in the basement of a big building in a town called Hiroshima. And they survived. They made their way to the harbor where the USS Missouri was parked and the signing of the surrender. And MacArthur found out that he was there and he invited him on the ship. This gentleman didn't even talk about that experiences. He was a small engine shop down in southern part of the state of Minnesota, and the committee found out about it. He hadn't received his medals or anything, and there was a ceremony for him, and I got to meet him, meet his wife, and he was still working. And it was just a credible story. And when I first read it, I didn't believe it until I was told that, yes, this really happened. So things like that you hear about.
Can I add one thing also?
Yes.
Many of the service members that are involved with this atomic testing don't talk about it. Some of them don't realize that most of them were under an oath of secrecy where they couldn't talk about it. That oath of secrecy was lifted in 1996, I believe, and some of the veterans know about it, and now their stories are starting to come out, but there are still many veterans that don't realize that oath of secrecy was lifted, so they're closed-mouthed about talking about the involvement that they've had with the various nuclear testing.
Mr. Kiefer, thank you for your testimony today.
Thank you for your time, and thank you for your consideration of this bill.
And Representative Poston renews his motion that House File 2276 be re-referred to the General Register. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion for the Mills. House File 2276 is referred to the General Register. The last bill on the agenda is Representative Lee, please, is House File 2206. Please come to the table with your testifiers.
Mr. Chair, before I start, I did bring some treats for members of the committee.
That's right. This is your first bill. Welcome. Representative Lee, as I mentioned before the committee meeting, that we're going to hold this over.
Okay.
And I just want to make a commitment to you that I will personally work with you, making sure that we get this bill in the manner that we want it, in the language that we want it, so that we can go forward with it the next time we bring it before the committee.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate that.
Yes. And thank you for the treats.
So, Mr. Chair, House File 2206, I do have an amendment. I don't know if we will be moving it here in this committee.
Representative Lee, your bill is before us. I understand that you have an author's amendment.
Yes.
A-170190, to get your bill in the form of your author, of what you want. Everybody have a copy of the author amendment? As you lick your fingers eating your donuts. Are there any, would you talk about your amendment?
Mr. Chair, so the A-17 amendment will no longer make this a state holiday. Instead, this amendment will designate May 14th as the Hmong and Lao Veterans Day.
Okay.
And it also deletes some of the language that was in the original bill that asked the governor to issue a proclamation to lower flags to have staff on the Capitol Mall and to allow businesses, if they choose, to let their employees take holiday off. So delete that language.
And for the committee, I want to let you know that Representative Lee came into my office. We sat down, chatted about the language and so forth, and he has put together, I think, a good amendment.
And was there another amendment? Where's, which one is it?
I think we have another amendment, too. Yeah. Is there any other discussions on the author's amendment? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment is adopted. I have it in front of me. And the other amendment is the A2 amendment. That's my amendment, and basically what the A2 amendment does, it it substitutes the language the Hmong allowed with the Southeast Asian allies. And again, this is what we discussed. And so any questions about the A2 amendment?
Mr. Chair, members, I would encourage this is as a friendly amendment to help support this. Thank you.
Okay. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The A2 amendment is adopted. So, Representative Lee.
Mr. Chair and members, House File 2206, as amended, will designate May 14th as Southeast Asian Allies Veterans Day to recognize and honor the Southeast Asian people who suffered, sacrificed, or died in the secret war in Laos from 1961 to 1965 in support of our U.S. Armed Forces. And many of these individuals were responsible for saving the lives of many American soldiers and pilots. And many of the gentlemen here today in the stand have served alongside our American service members, and one of them will share his experience shortly. And, you know, the sacrifice of our allies and their families were significant in the Hmong community alone. It is estimated that there were at least 35,000 deaths out of an estimated population of 100,000 in Laos. And unfortunately, I do not have the numbers for the other Southeast Asian communities. And May 14th is a significant day because it was the last day of ILRF evacuation of officers and their families from the covert operations in Long Chien, Laos, to the Nam Phong refugee camp in Thailand. And Mr. Chair and members, before I turn it over to my testifier, I think that this designation will help Minnesotans recognize the contributions of our Southeast Asian allies, veterans during the secret war in Laos. And beside me, I have Mr. Tu Phu Vang, who held the rank of Lieutenant Colonel in the Special Guerrilla Unit, or SGU for short, and the current advisor to the SGU veterans in Minnesota.
Okay. Welcome, Colonel Tu Phu Vang. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Your Honor, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, my name is Lieutenant Colonel Tu Phu Vang. My American name is Ernie, or Ernest. I was in General Wang Bao's 80 camp, cabinet chief and liaison officer from 1969 to 1975. As Lao American veterans, we honor all American veterans of all wars. In regard to General Vesey, we know that General Vesey was a good friend of General Wang Bao. General Vesey visited General Wang Bao regularly in Laos and in America. Therefore, we support wholeheartedly for the proposed project for General Vesey. I'm here to request you, our Honorable House of Representatives, to approve the request by the Lao Hmong veterans to continue to use May 14 to celebrate and remember their war colleagues, both the dead and the survivors of the U.S. secret war in Laos from 1961 to 1975. They have been celebrating this Lao Hmong Memorial Day for the past 7 years. And last year, the governor and the Senate officially recognized this date as a one-time approval for the Lao Hmong veterans with a proclamation. May 14 signifies the heroic leaving of military Legion 2 in Laos under the former General Wang Bao's leadership, by negotiating with our American ambassador to fly 3,500 of his military and civilian leaders and their families out of their headquarters to Thailand by air. May 14 was also a day of mourning for the loss of thousands of their soldiers and American civilians who perished behind my communist retaliations for our people for being ally of the United States. Many perished in the jungle by communist abuse, ambushes, hunger, and many were drowned in the Mekong River trying to flee to Thailand. This is why May 14 means so much for the Lao Hmong veterans. Your compassion to officially recognizing this day to the Lao Hmong veterans will greatly be appreciated by all Lao Hmong Americans in Minnesota. To summarize the success of the U.S. secret war in Laos, please allow me to read the comments by Mr. Richard Helms, director of the agency, as follows. Quote, the secret war in Laos was the largest paramilitary operation ever undertaken by the agency. For more than 13 years, the agency directed native forces that fought major North Vietnamese best divisions to a standstill. Although the country eventually fell to the communists, the agency remained proud of its accomplishment in Laos. The director further observed that this was a major operation by the agency. It took manpower. It took special qualified manpower. It was dangerous. It was difficult. The agency did a superb job. Thank you for your time.
Well, Delia, do we have other testimonies? Mr. Diamond, please introduce yourself.
Thank you. Tom Diamond, Chair, members of the committee. It's a real honor to speak on behalf of this bill of Representative Lee.
And Mr. Diamond, maybe I should first, is we have some people that are visiting us and our allies that served as allies during the war in Vietnam. Would you please stand and be recognized? So, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Diamond.
Thank you, Chair. Committee members, after I got out of the service, a couple of things that I did was I had the good fortune to work for the Minnesota Senate for a number of years, and then also served on the City Council of St. Paul. And during that period of time, I was able to help work on some of the resettlement issues and trying to resettle in this community from the camps in Thailand. And what in my district now, there is roughly a third of the population are Hmong families. And over the years, I've had the opportunity to meet with, socialize with, be graciously allowed in their homes, spend time with them. And when you think of the contribution that these individuals have provided for this country and our service members, it's incredible. But it's also, when you see the settlement of these members in our families, as Minnesotans, as members, our neighbors, and you see not only the service members of our generation, but you see their children, their grandchildren, and you're able to have these conversations amongst them and to see the, not only what they did, but the pride that their families have in what they did and what they, the role they played in as fellow Minnesotans, it's always a danger to speak against an amendment of the chair, but I would just comment as this goes forward and what has to pair up with what the Senate bill went through the committee the other day, is I would hope that we don't diminish at all in any way the significance among, and that's not to take anything away from any of the other allies in Southeast Asia, but that date, and talking earlier, that date is a very important date that has great meaning to the Hmong veterans. And I think to the degree we can highlight that and also honor the other allies of that time, I think is a very important thing to do. And so I'm greatly honored to speak in behalf of this, in behalf of this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Other testifiers. Mr. Donay.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, fellow committee members. My name is Ralph Donay. I'm the chairman of the United Veterans Legislative Council, and I myself can thank these gentlemen because I was in Vietnam twice, and I have no doubt in my mind that what they did, as well as the other Southeast Asian veterans groups, did help save my life and many Americans. So as long as all the Southeast Asia veterans are included into this, I think it's a great idea, because a lot of those groups aren't considered veterans in the United States. They may have moved here, refugees from Vietnam and Cambodia and other places, and all of those folks should be included because they all help the armed forces of the United States. And I've been involved a couple of times out in, kind of think of the suburb out there. I'm from Elk River, so, but like out in Brooklyn Park or somewhere, a couple of times I was involved with the celebration of the folks that came. And I think it's only just that we do something for them, because like I say, they're not considered an American veteran per se. So let's do what we can to help this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dane. Any other testifiers? Yes, please come forward. And please introduce yourself.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Mary Gilbert from the St. Paul Public Schools, and you know we probably have the largest population of Hmong and other allied students in our district. And when this was introduced and heard yesterday in the Senate, I was asked to contact the education stakeholders about the provision in the bill that is permissive, that allows schools to acknowledge the day if the bill would pass. And I have talked to the Minnesota School Boards Association, and they said that they would help districts acknowledge the day and provide information, and that as long as the language stays permissive, they're supportive of the bill.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And Representative Lee, you know, I will be working with you personally. I'll be one of the co-authors, and just maybe to talk about something that's kind of related. If you look back, I got up early this morning. I was thinking about your bill. And I looked up some legislation that I worked on back in 2008. And the bill, it was authored by Representative Howes, H-O-W-E-S. He's not representative anymore. But he was a high school friend with a Mrs. Finneman, who's lives in Forest Lake, and I've known her for years. Her brother fought in Vietnam and came back and committed suicide. And she came to me and Representative Howes and wanted to designate a day in Minnesota as the Vietnam War Day. So we worked on this legislation, and the bill would designate March 29th of each year as Vietnam Veterans Day in Minnesota, in honor of both living and deceased veterans of that war. That day in 1973 marked the completion of the withdrawal of American troops from Vietnam. And we went through the legislative process, going through the committees and everything, and got the Senate to also carry the bill. But it was a process. And so now, every year, in the end of March, I know my hometown has a event every year. And the first event that took place back in 2008, I was the guest speaker. And I got up, gave my little speech, and I saw that all the Vietnam, they came from all over Minnesota, Vietnam War veterans. And we had put red ribbons on their sleeve. And after I got done with my speech, I asked all the Vietnam War veterans to stand up. People were wondering, what am I doing? Then I asked everybody else, if you have a Vietnam War veteran standing next to you, would you please stand up, give them a hug, or shake their hands and welcome them home? Because that didn't happen back in the late 60s, early 70s. And so every year we have that, and there's other communities that are doing the same thing. But our allies have been a big part of bringing a lot of our men home, men and women home, from that terrible war, because war is terrible. I have a son right now that's in Afghanistan, and that's his fourth deployment. There's also another date that we declared Veterans, Korean War, and Armistice Day. And I worked on it. I was the co-author. And the author of that bill that took place also in March 2008 was Representative Dan Severson, a Navy pilot. The bill designates July 27th and each year as Korean War Armistice Day. On that date, 1953, the military armistice agreement was signed and ended the three-year Korean War. So, people, I think Minnesota is doing the right thing in a lot of these different bills that we've passed. And, Representative Lee, we will get yours passed, too, and get it through. And I encourage the people on the committee here to take a look and how the bill, the language has changed already, to step up to the plate and sign on as a co-author. And but I do have a couple questions for you, Representative Lee. I know where your heart is. That's key, okay? And I know that there's other people you probably need to talk to. Have you talked to anybody in the Commander's Task Force, such as the Vietnam War Veterans of America? That's a group you should talk to. And you could probably connect with Jerry Kaiser or Ralph Dene that just testifies. They can get you in contact with those people. And have you contacted Commissioner Shelato, our Commissioner of Veterans Affairs? He's also a Vietnam War veteran. And do you have anything to say on those?
So, Mr. Chair, to your questions, I have not contacted these organizations or the commissioner, and I will be doing that going forward.
And if you need somebody to be there with you, just ring me up.
Okay? I will. And, Mr. Chair, just to your point earlier, too, I remember our first conversation when I came by, and you brought up the Veterans Korean War Armistice Day, and that's why I went back and did some research and tried to craft some language similar to that, too, so that, you know, when we're honoring these individuals who have helped our U.S. Armed Forces, that, you know, it's consistent throughout the board so that we're having everyone in there and we're not leaving anyone out.
Okay. Any other questions? Becker Flynn. Representative Becker Flynn.
Finn.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair. So I want to thank Representative Lee. I'm also signed on as a co-author, and I want to thank the veterans, the Hmong veterans who are here today. We do a lot in this committee across the aisle, regardless of party, to make sure that we're respecting and honoring all of our veterans. And I just want to say I don't know exactly what the holdup is on this bill, and I you know, why this is kind of being treated a little bit differently than other things we've looked at in this committee. And I just think that's really unfortunate, but I recognize, Mr. Chair, you know, your commitment to make sure that we can get this done and hopefully get this to the floor sooner than later. You know, we talk a lot about all these bills, about how much we wish people were still alive to see us honor and recognize them. And so I just don't want to see this slowed up unnecessarily when it's really a good thing that Representative Lee is trying to do here. So I thank you for your commitment on the record here to make sure that we get this done. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And Representative Frank.
Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to commend you, Representative Lee. That day, my office is right next to the chairman's. You came by, and I signed on right away. I know the passion that you have and where your heart is at. So I hope that going forward, you get what you deserve. So, Representative Pryor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Lee, for bringing this forward. Thank you, veterans, for being with us today. And being part of our Pledge of Allegiance, this ceremony that we had at the beginning of the committee. And just also, I am glad to hear that there's a commitment to get this worked out and passed eventually with the right wording. And I just want to emphasize the recognition that's part of this and I think is central to this piece of legislation. And that whatever final wording comes forward truly has words that recognize our history in Minnesota. And it's our history in Minnesota, and it's now our present and our future as the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are Minnesotans going forward. And you get that accent eventually that's part of being here and part of our state into the future. And just want to, at this time again, recognize how grateful we are. I was a child growing up during the Vietnam War and was just a little bit shy where my cohorts were being drafted and would have been part of the conflict going forward. But it's part of my history and part of my memories, and I'm honored to be here today.
Yeah, well said, Representative. And just the education piece, most young people that are even college students today just don't remember. They hadn't had the history piece in our schools about the Vietnam War, and that's a big part of this too. And we can take a look at that too when it comes to putting some language together. And Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and also I'd like to thank Representative Lee for bringing this forward to help recognize the commitment of Hmong community and the Southeast Asian community that helped out our country during the war. The Hmong population specifically made huge sacrifices out there and very much have been impressed with how the trials that they've gone through as they've resettled after great persecution from Thailand and then eventually over into our country. One of the largest populations is in our state. And they're a very large portion of my community, and I'm very honored that to be able to represent them. And I think it's very important that we continue, and I appreciate hearing from the chair the continued effort to make sure that we get this through. I know a lot of working together helped get the Hmong Veterans Memorial over here on the Mall, and so I think it's very important that we follow up with this resolution as soon as possible.
And Representative Makeway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll keep it short because it trends in line with a lot of my colleagues, but Representative, thank you for bringing this bill forward, and to the veterans, thank you so much. Taking up arms for another country, there's nothing, in the spirit of democracy, to protect and defend democracy, there's nothing more American than that. And to know that those folks then came to our state and are Americans with us, there's nothing more honorable than that, and I'm really looking forward to this getting and the wording that is necessary so we can honor the Minnesotans and our state and the folks who fought alongside us to protect democracy. So thank you.
Lead Rosenthal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Lee, thank you so much. And I see you brought this bill to me and I signed on immediately. And thank you to all the veterans in the audience. You truly are an inspiration and saved many, many lives, and you deserve to be recognized. And we'll work with the chair and the author to make sure that this happens.
Representative Lee, any closing remarks?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, members, for those words, and I think that it's extremely important to our veterans who are here, our Hmong veterans who are here with us today, to hear the words that you all have shared with me, and I look forward to working with Mr. Chair on getting some language that everyone will be able to work with and see if we could get this going forward. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And as I discussed before, this chair lays over the House file 2206. And before we adjourn, I would like to, our last official meeting is going to, unless we need to meet beyond Monday, but our last official meeting is going to be Monday. Today was the deadline. And we also have a couple presentations at the meeting, so I think MACD is going to be here talking about their program. They have a new person in charge of MACD, and so we'll be ending up this division. So then there'll be one less committee you have to attend. Now I only have four after this one. But we'll be talking about people on. You can think about some comments you're going to make next Monday about how this committee was conducted and what we did. And I'll be having a handout of all the different bills. We have almost 50 bills that we heard in this committee, and I'll have a list of those for you. And we'll have a good, probably a short meeting. But this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.